from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
A concert you have never been to, I would imagine. Sam sitting there at a Metallica show. I would imagine you would be backstage with a friend who's the tour manager. So that's how you're getting into a Metallica show. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 92.9thegame.com on this Saturday morning. Happy 61st birthday, James Hetfield. And while we're at it, shout out to Mariano Rivera.
All right,
Mariano Rivera. been an interesting show. How you feeling this morning?
Right.
We doing all right?
That's good.
Hey, did you see where that dude got 15 years for stealing that Jackie Robinson statue?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Saw that.
Hmm. What? I had two things that made me go and it has to do with I'm not sure if that's enough or if that's too much. This was one of those stories, and then. This next person, when I realized it was his birthday, I was surprised at the age. Okay, turning 30 years old today, Todd Gurley.
Ooh.
Don't that seem young?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm thinking this dude, I'm looking like, they're going to say 36. No, he's 30 years old today, Todd Gurley. I just feel like he's younger. Anyway, Noel, do we have our, we have our guest welcoming.
Uh-oh.
With multiple hats, Joe Patrick this morning.
Always.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you getting up and joining us.
Morning.
Good morning, guys.
We know
I had to roll out of bed for 9:20. That's the life of a reporter. That, you know, that's just like, you know, you got the late nights. You gotta man up sometimes and wake up at 9 a.m.
I was laughing during the break with Sam. We were having some fun with this. Was the day that Joe Niekro got busted during a national televised baseball game for having an emery board in his back pocket. You know, kind of just doing his fingernails, and the umps all were standing there, and he put his hands in his back pocket and pulled the pocket out, and the emery board went flying out, and everybody saw it on TV and act like he was Harry Houdini or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, that happened on this day. A couple other baseball notes before we get to we're not going to talk baseball with you, so I want to get this out of the way. Satchel Paige, 42 years old, made his debut on this day.
You sure he was 42?
No, I'm not sure.
They never really knew how old he was, man.
But they won the game.
Yeah.
So there you go. Joe Patrick, I will let you decide your time out at Falcons camp or Atlanta United. Which one would you like to dip your toe into first?
Let's talk some Falcons.
All right.
Fantastic. Your impressions, really, from yesterday. I heard a very, very nice crowd. I was listening to a lot of our coverage there yesterday.
Yeah, it was great, you know, and the only like sad part about it is that's going to be the last time we see this Falcons team, and I will, you know, personally see a lot of these Falcons fans before week one, because it is such a just kind of a happy, kind of festive kind of atmosphere that we saw both at Seckinger High School the week prior and then at Mercedes-Benz Stadium last night, where there was an even bigger crowd. I think it was around 12,000 or something is what I heard. And just so much positivity from the fans towards this team that I think that everybody has high hopes for, from the fans to the players to the coaches to the media, frankly. And so it was a great night for them to be able to come out and see these guys up close and personal, get a lot of autographs. It was kind of just an intimate kind of setting that you don't normally get around these big kind of celebrities, really, is what these players are. And, you know, they stayed around for a while afterwards and signed a bunch of autographs. So that was all great. And I also, and the practice itself was also, I think, one of the better ones that you're likely to see, because, and maybe they did this on purpose to try to treat the fans to some, as much actual football as you can get into at this time of year, but it was a lot of 11-on-11 scrimmaging in various situations. We saw 11-on-11 two-minute drills. We saw 11-on-11 good-on-good, so like the ones going at it. And so that's what the fans want to see, and they got to see the, you know, kind of the full breadth of the roster that it, as it's constructed, and they got to see some big plays made by some of the team's new players.
Joe, Coach Raheem Morris, you know, I remember from the very first day of camp was talking about the gradual build-up and how they wanted to do, how they wanted to do it their way, and, you know, and take it in stages and whatnot. Have you felt that, you know, from when that started, the week they've been outside, you've seen the workouts with the public there. They're getting ready to go and line up against an opponent next week.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Yeah, it was definitely.
You feel like it's stepping up?
Yeah, it was definitely a different start to training camp than just personally what I've experienced covering the sport at the professional level, which was my only experience of that was under Arthur Smith. So I got to experience like how Arthur Smith kind of conducted the practice, not just the practice in and of itself, a singular practice, but how he kind of stages the practices and ramps them up and down, trying to, you know, maintain. I brought this up with, because I asked Raheem about this several days ago. Then I used the word load management, and he kind of cringed because, you know, they don't want to kind of refer to it like that, because that obviously brings with it its own connotations in the NBA in terms of guys literally sitting out games and whatnot. But I think that there is definitely a concerted effort, or there was a concerted effort, to keep these guys physically as fresh as possible throughout this camp, as opposed to, like, you know, I think fans would have been more like familiar with like an Arthur Smith style of training camp, which was very high intensity pretty much from the get go. Obviously there's rules around how much pads they can have on and how early and stuff. But, you know, in Arthur Smith's practices, you know, the first day there's a competition period, one-on-ones, even though they're not in pads, you know, where they put up, they play the Drake song, and they, you know, the offensive guys, coaches are calling out a player, and the defensive coaches are calling out a player, you know, and they go mano a mano. And this was not like that. I remember the first day of Falcons practice of this training camp, it was basically a walkthrough. There was no real contact whatsoever, even with hands on the line of scrimmage. Just guys kind of walking through plays, setting up alignments, and getting through a ton of different plays. Not even a lot of individual work at that point in time. It was basically just like a team session of just getting through scripts, and it almost felt like academic in a sense in comparison to an Arthur Smith practice. But, you know, they've ramped things up, and I think it's been really smart, and I think that it was specifically designed that way because he's trying to install a new offensive system, he being Raheem Morris and Zach Robinson and Jimmy Lake, the coordinators. And these guys have all picked it up remarkably well. I think that that's been one of the things the coaches have been most happy with is how they've picked things up on the mental side, but also on the physical side. We have seen it ramp up, and now we got to see, I think, the most intense kind of practice in terms of the hitting and how like all out these guys were going last night at Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Joe Patrick joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Take us with you on the Odyssey app. Along those lines, I'm talking about the offensive side of the ball. Sam and I earlier were talking about some of the skill position players. You're talking about Kyle Pitts. Whoever it is, who do you see, given what you have heard so far about the type of offense that Coach Morris eventually wants to have, who do you see as far as those skill position players having a breakout year?
Oh, man. Like, it almost feels at this point like which one is not going to have a breakout year? And the realistic answer to that is that, like, there probably are going to be players that we think really high of that may not get the actual, like, production in terms of the counting stats just because there's only one football that has to go around to all these guys that have been very highly drafted and are obviously very talented. But I got to say, just having watched training camp to this point, you know, Kyle Pitts is the guy for me who really looks like he is about to break out of this kind of theoretical, like, prison that he's been in these last 2 years where he's been confined to playing, you know, I think a different kind of role than he was able to play in 2021, where he had a quarterback like a Kirk Cousins and Matt Ryan who was able to understand the windows that Kyle Pitts was, windows where he could get the ball to Kyle Pitts, essentially. And those windows specifically exist over the middle of the field as a tight end. You know, he's running over the middle of the field, running in-breaking routes, and that's where Kirk Cousins has been among the best in football over the last couple of years in Kevin O'Connell's system in, you know, just his efficiency. And I think for that reason, Kyle Pitts is on the verge of having a huge breakout season, so long as he can avoid the injury that obviously set him back when he suffered it in 2022. And I know that's going to excite a lot of fans because there's been so much expectations around him. And obviously in the fantasy football community, there's been, you know, consternation with his production as well. And I know a lot of that was laid at the feet of Arthur Smith, but he had his best season. You know, he had that amazing rookie year under Arthur Smith's offense. I really think it stems from the quarterback being able to deliver him the ball, and also the offense that is just designed around whatever quarterback Arthur Smith had available to him during his tenure, where he was working with a different starter in every single season. So I think that he is very well set up for a big year. I would say the same about guys like Bijan and Drake London. They also look really good, but, you know, again, I go back to when you think about how much the ball is going to get shared around, you know, Drake London might have some bigger plays. I know that he's going to have more touchdowns. I think all these pass catchers are going to have more touchdowns than they were getting, where guys like Marcus Mariota, Desmond Ridder were just, I don't think the coaches felt comfortable with them throwing the ball when they were in some of those, you know, close red zone situations. And I think Kirk Cousins is going to be so much more efficient. So I think a lot of these guys are going to have a lot more scoring plays. But as far as like the yardage totals and stuff, I think that Kyle Pitts is the one who's going to break out the most from where he's been the last year or two.
Spending time on the WaitForIt.com outline with Joe Patrick. Going to got a little bit more time to go with you. I want to talk on the defensive side of the ball because we got this competition we're going to know up front. We've drafted all this talent to increase the pass rush and work on the defensive line as Grady Jarrett is coming back. But also in the secondary, we got to establish another starting at a corner back there. How interested are you watching those competitions? I know that's what I'm really interested in, to see how those positions work out for this team.
Absolutely. I think at the cornerback position, we do see a more natural kind of position battle that we would all be familiar with in terms of who's going to win the starting job. And it seems like Mike Hughes has the leg up right now on Clark Phillips. And, you know, I think there's reasons for that. I think there's reasons to believe that Mike Hughes could be better than he was last year as an outside corner, as opposed to last year where he was playing almost exclusively in the slot. And also in a zone scheme could suit him a little bit better, although I think that suits the cornerbacks in general just better in terms of them being able to make plays for this defense without having to turn their back to the quarterback while they, you know, man mark a guy who's running a route. But, you know, I think that it's hard to see, like, how that's developing because Mike Hughes just continues to take the first-team reps. So we'll see if that changes. We'll see if, you know, Clark Phillips can do anything to kind of change that situation when they're down in Miami. Clark Phillips has already had a couple turnovers here this past week And so I think that he's definitely kind of in contention. But like I said, Mike Hughes has kind of that spot locked down. And then on the pass rushing and along that defensive front, Sam, you know, it's interesting because, you know, the coaches will say because this team is not invested as to this point in one of these premier pass rushers at the edge position that, you know, this team is going to struggle rushing the passer. And the coaches will say, well, you know, to really rush the passer, it's about 11 guys. You know, you got to have the coverage there. That's part of it. And you got to have, you know, the interior guys that create pressure. And that all sounds well and good, but that's exactly what you would expect coaches to say when you don't have a TJ Watt or a, you know, one of those premier guys on the edge that can get to the quarterback on any down. But I think what fans got to see yesterday at Mercedes-Benz Stadium actually, you know, brought that to those words to life a little bit, because what they saw yesterday was a lot of like messy pockets created from those interior guys. Creating that havoc that just makes things messy. In fact, there was one point in the practice where guys kind of fell to the ground right at Kirk Cousins' feet, and he got rolled up on, and Kirk Cousins went to the ground. I think it had everybody kind of holding their breath. Kirk, of course, pops right back up, and he was all right. But it just goes to show, you know, there was – I think if you were to ask people who were at that practice last night, they would have been relatively impressed with what they saw in terms of this Falcons pass rush, despite the fact that they don't have one of these premier guys. And even some of the young guys, like Braylon Trice, are really doing a good job and having some good reps and creating some pressures out there like he did in college. So I do think that there is upside for this defense to create pressures that maybe a lot of fans don't expect. And one last thing, guys. On this note, I wouldn't put it past Terry Fontenot to go out and make a move during the season. If there's a player that's coming up that's available for trade, like there was last year where the team reportedly had a deal basically done with the Commanders for Montez Sweat before the Bears swooped in and had a better pick to offer than the Falcons had, then, you know, I think that that's still very much a possibility if the team is struggling to create those pressures and sacks on opposing quarterbacks.
This guy's thorough.
Yeah.
He's thorough. You know, he's all over it. He's all over it, man. You go get a cup of coffee, he's still giving you the answer. He's digging deep. That's why we got him on here. Joe, thank you as always, buddy. Listen, we're going to get into Atlanta United ourselves. We'll talk about their matchups here, but it's okay. He gave us a thorough update, and we're going to check back with you next week. Hopefully you don't mind.
Yeah. Sounds good. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, there you go. Joe Patrick joining Sam and Greg here.
Yeah, absolutely. I think at the cornerback position, we do see a more natural kind of position battle that we would all be familiar with in terms of who's going to win the starting job. And it seems like Mike Hughes has the leg up right now on Clark Phillips. And, you know, I think there's reasons for that. I think there's reasons to believe that Mike Hughes could be better than he was last year as an outside corner, as opposed to last year where he was playing almost exclusively in the slot. And also in a zone scheme could suit him a little bit better, although I think that suits the cornerbacks in general just better in terms of them being able to make plays for this defense without having to turn their back to the quarterback while they, you know, man mark a guy who's running a route. But, you know, I think that it's hard to see, like, how that's developing because Mike Hughes just continues to take the first-team rep. So we'll see if that changes. We'll see if, you know, Clark Phillips can do anything to kind of change that situation when they're down in Miami. Clark Phillips has already had a couple turnovers here this past week. And so I think that he's definitely kind of in contention. But like I said, Mike Hughes has kind of that spot locked down. And then on the pass rushing and along that defensive front, Sam, you know, it's interesting because, you know, the coaches will say because this team is not invested as to this point in one of these premier pass rushers at the edge position that, you know, this team is going to struggle rushing the passer. And the coaches will say, well, you know, to really rush the passer, it's about 11 guys. You know, you got to have the coverage there. That's part of it. And you got to have, you know, the interior guys that create pressure. And that all sounds well and good, but that's exactly what you would expect coaches to say when you don't have a TJ Watt or a, you know, one of those premier guys on the edge that can get to the quarterback on any down. But I think what fans got to see yesterday at Mercedes-Benz Stadium actually, you know, brought that to those words to life a little bit, because what they saw yesterday was a lot of like messy pockets created from those interior guys. Creating that havoc that just makes things messy. In fact, there was one point in the practice where guys kind of fell to the ground right at Kirk Cousins' feet, and he got rolled up on, and Kirk Cousins went to the ground. I think it had everybody kind of holding their breath. Kirk, of course, pops right back up, and he was all right. But this just goes to show, you know, there was, I think if you were to ask people who were at that practice last night, they would have been relatively impressed with what they saw in terms of this Falcons pass rush, despite the fact that they haven't, they don't have one of these premier guys. And even some of the young guys like Braylon Trice are really doing a good job and having some good reps and creating some pressures out there like he did in college. So I do think that there is upside for this defense to create pressures that maybe a lot of fans don't expect. And one last thing, guys. On this note, I wouldn't put it past Terry Fontenot to go out and make a move during the season. If there's a player that's coming up that's available for trade, like there was last year where the team reportedly had a deal basically done with the Commanders for Montez Sweat before the Bears swooped in and had a better pick to offer than the Falcons had, then, you know, I think that that's still very much a possibility if the team is struggling to create those pressures and sacks on opposing quarterbacks.
This guy's thorough.
Yeah.
He's thorough. He asked him a question. He's all over it, man. You go get a cup of coffee, he's still giving you the answer. He's digging deep. That's why we got him on here. Joe, thank you as always, buddy. Listen, we're going to get in Atlanta United ourselves. We'll talk about their matchups here. It's okay. He gave us a thorough update, and we're going to check back with you next week. Hopefully you don't mind.
Yep. Sounds good. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, there you go. Joe Patrick joining Sam and Greg here.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.